Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
In this AudioCast 42, I go to the Philippines to learn all about blind faith, literally. So sit back and...
One, two, three, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And this week, I go all the way to the Philippines to learn how to deal with the messiness of life. My first interview is with a guy named Steven. I don't even know his last name, but I can tell you, he's kind of like a superhero. I kind of call him my Filipino daredevil. Do you know what Daredevil is? He's a superhero, Marvel comic superhero. He is a blind guy, he's a lawyer, and because he has heightened sensibilities, he goes around almost like a vigilante, fighting crime, just basically beating the snot out of people who do bad things. But here's a man who's got tremendous faith, and so does this guy, Steven. You're gonna hear just how amazing he is. He's more than a daredevil. He's more of like a dare angel. See what I did there? And then my second interview is with Chris and Linda Padgett of CatholicFam.org. This is a ministry that lets people know that life is absolutely pathetically messy. Yeah, your family might be all faithed up, you know what I mean? It could be completely a family that just basically been shiitake'd all over, if you know what I'm talking about. And this ministry, CatholicFam.org, with Chris and Linda Padgett, they help us to see that faith sometimes leads us through some dark valleys. But fear not, because as the song Amazing Grace says, I was blind, but now I see. Which is why this show and this intro and this amuse-bouche is inviting you to a deep dish discussion with Stephen, Chris, and Linda Padgett. And I call this show Blind Faith. We'll be back in just a moment. This episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, is brought to you by Catholic Family and Marriage Incorporated. You can learn all about this ministry that helps families to deal with the messiness of life. At Catholic Family and Marriage, they believe that not every family is part of a marriage, and not every marriage leads to a family. So, if you want to learn more how to help your family and your marriage grow in faith, all you've got to do is visit CatholicFam.org. That's once again, CatholicFam.org. And welcome back for a deep dish discussion. I have got a very special guest here. I am in the green room of a humongous convention center in the Philippines, and I came across a young man who was wearing shades. They're Ferrari shades. And he was looking cool, but then I realized he is blind. And so I wanted to get to know him because he sees the world differently. So welcome, Stephen. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having me, Father.
Okay, Stephen, you're how old?
I'm 19.
You're 19. And what do you do?
I play piano and I teach for the blind person.
Wait a second. You play the piano?
Yeah, I play the piano.
Like Stevie Wonder? I mean, this is amazing.
Thank you, Father.
Okay, so you play the piano and you teach blind people how to play the piano?
Yeah, and a sped school, a special education school in the Philippines, yeah. And I teach them every Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so let me just go back a little bit in history. Were you born without sight? Or?
Yeah, I born blind because I am a premature baby, retinopathy of prematurity.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you won't know any recollection whatsoever. And so when did you, I hate to ask you this, but like, when did you discover you couldn't see? At what point did you realize, wait a minute, I can't see?
when I was a child, and when I was playing, and I realized I can see things, but you know, I still hear it.
You can hear it.
Yeah.
Like I've heard that people with particular hindrances or disabilities, and actually, you know, let me ask you a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prefer to be called? Because you'll have, to some degree, quote-unquote special treatment,
mm-hmm.
but is it because of a quote-unquote disability, or how do you see yourself or describe yourself? What's the most appropriate way to address the blindness?
For me?
Yeah. Because people in America love to be politically correct.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, are you one of those guys say, no, I'm not blind, I just have a condition with sight?
Maybe sometimes.
Okay, so it all depends, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you were a child, you said that you couldn't see, but you could definitely...
I could hear things.
Is it heightened hearing?
Yep.
Wow. So let me put a test here, okay?
Yeah.
So if you were in another room, mm-hmm. do you think you could hear things that other people don't hear?
Yeah, especially when the small clock tick.
Really?
Yeah. And, oh, what's that? Or especially when somebody drop a coin. So, what's that? I heard that coin.
Oh.
Yeah.
And no one else heard it.
Yeah, sometimes wow. at the house. So one afternoon, my father's motorbike is coming maybe 100 meters away from my house. And, hey, mom, Papa is coming now. So, what? And then she looked at the window. Oh, nice.
No, that's really cool. I mean, there is a show on Netflix. I'm sorry to bring it up. It's called Daredevil.
Yeah, I know that.
You kind of remind me of Daredevil, dude.
I signed up on Netflix.
So how do you sign up on Netflix?
Yeah.
What are you doing? I mean, like, how do you quote unquote watch it?
Mm-hmm. I'm using screen reader, especially thanks to Netflix. Sorry.
Screen readers?
Yeah.
Please tell me about that. I have no idea what that is.
Screen reader is a special software that you can activate using your software or whatever the device you're using. For example, if it's Android or iOS devices, you have to turn it on the settings and accessibility and called TalkBack.
Okay.
Or on iOS, it's called VoiceOver.
So do they just simply kind of describe the scenery or something?
Not really, but every time you touch your screen, so we have on programming, we call cursor.
A cursor?
So for example, your cursor is on messages, and then your text-to-speech say to you messages.
Okay.
And contacts. For example, you...
Dude, you know more about technology than I do. This is kind of crazy. Seriously. And it might be because you're young. But besides that technology, I have to ask you, like, do you rely on it or do you rely on your own senses?
Sometimes, especially when I am traveling on my own.
You're traveling on your own?
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
I got here later.
Uh-huh.
Before, maybe I leave Laguna.
Which is how long of a ride?
Maybe 2 to 3 hours.
2 to 3 hours, like on public transportation?
Yeah.
So in the Philippines, is that typical?
Yeah.
So you travel long distances to get to things. And so let's just explain for all of our listeners. Stephen mm-hmm. is here, and we are sitting in the green room. That's why you're going to hear people coming in and out.
Yeah.
It's for all the speakers. And we're at a big conference called Kerygma. And what we're doing is, the topic of Kerygma is called Limitless, how God is unlimited. And from what I understand, Stephen, did you give like a presentation as well, or were part of a discussion?
Yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, and what did you talk about?
Brother John Escott, one of the speakers, tell my story to the people. And I sing my own written song, Japanese song.
Yeah. So you're playing the piano, you're singing your own songs. That's pretty intense.
Thank you.
And so let me ask you this, because I think a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
when they see people who might have a condition, whether it be they're deaf or they're blind,
mm-hmm.
or they might not be able to speak,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people who are, I don't know how to even describe it, you know, that don't have those conditions, they don't know how to treat the other person.
Yeah.
What do you want from the rest of the world who can see? Like, what do you expect?
From my disability?
Yeah. Okay, so you called it a disability.
Yeah.
But you don't look pretty... I mean, like you have a lot more abilities than most people. So, but what do you expect from people who don't have that condition or that disability?
Sometimes I'm so nervous. Sorry, Father.
Oh, don't listen, buddy. Don't be nervous. I'm actually honored that you're just chatting with me.
Thank
because
you.
I haven't had a chance to ever talk to anyone who was blind. Oh. To be honest with you, I've never really talked with people who are blind. I mean, I'm sure that they were there. I just never see them. You know, I see them with the cane. You've got your cane.
Oh, yeah. But sometimes there's many people here in the Philippines that they're discriminating us.
They're discriminating?
Yeah, and...
Like, what does that mean? How does that look like? And then I want you to tell me how you feel.
I feel so very hurt. And, you know, when I walk on the sidewalk and they, hey, straight ahead, but there's no way in there. You know, there's a, and hey, there's an obstacle, but there's not.
They're messing with you.
Yeah, there's always messing with me. And I feel, you know, I'm a little bit hurt, but it's okay.
Listen, if you're hurt, you're hurt, and it's not okay.
Maybe.
So if people are doing that, there's going to be a very uncomfortable place in hell for people like that. And it's just my honest opinion. It's just, how dare we do something like that to somebody? I mean, you're amazing. You're walking around on your own. You traveled here to the conference 3 hours in public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, though, there might also be some compassionate people to help you along the way.
Yeah. But I pray to God every night, Lord, please forgive them. And I'd like to say thank you.
Dude, I hit him with my stick.
And then I really appreciate the people. Hey, where are you going? I'm going to the fast food near 7-Eleven. Oh, I come with you.
Oh, actually, you know what? Now that you mentioned, now that we're talking, I actually did encounter someone, but this was very, very early on.
Mm-hmm.
He was a seminarian. He's now a priest, and he was blind.
Oh.
But here's the thing.
Wow.
I didn't even know that he was blind because he was giving me instructions in my car. Now, I knew he was blind, but he could play the piano beautifully.
Wow.
He was very functional on his own. I picked him up at the train station, and I was going to drop him off at the seminary, but I didn't know where it was. And he was giving me instructions. This is before GPS. He even told me, do you see the red house here on the corner? I'm like, I see it. Do you?
Do you see it?
But the fact is, he was able to do all of that. I guess there is a heightened sense of it all. So maybe I'm sorry, I forgot that I did know someone who was blind, but I've never interviewed them. Mm. Now, you grew up, obviously not seeing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Did you still have friends, though? Were you still able to play and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I have friends, but sometimes my own cousins discriminate me, you know.
Man, are you kidding? Okay.
Hey, don't go here. You get hurt, you know. When we play hide and seek, hey, don't play. You get hurt. Why are you always do that to me?
So you're playing hide and seek. This is kind of interesting. Were you ever it having to try to look for them?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
And I beat them on PS4.
Oh, you beat them on PS4? Okay, now I'm freaking out because I don't understand how you do that. That's amazing. How are you doing that?
Maybe the spirit guide me.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I use my senses and on gaming community, on gaming, we have, especially on movies, we have called, what do you call this one? Virtual reality and 3D audio.
Okay.
And I wear headsets and I know where my enemy was and I killed them, you know, on the PS4. I played
so
Tekken 3.
You are like Daredevil. No, that's pretty intense. Now, but let's talk about something that you've mentioned a few times.
Yeah.
You pray.
Mm-hmm.
And while this is not necessarily for Catholics, I want to know, did you ever kind of doubt God?
No.
Wow, you said that so quickly. I mean, it's like, you just said it so quickly. You've never doubted God's presence. Did you ever get angry at the fact that you can't see?
No.
Wow, you're like a ninja with that no. I mean, so you've always had a love and appreciation for God, even though you're blind.
Because I know God has many plans for me.
Wow. Like, what do you think he's got plans for you? What kind of plans do you think?
Maybe he wants me to be an inspiration to other people.
That's already a given. You're an inspiration to me. That's pretty amazing.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, no, thank you. Let me ask you a practical question.
Yeah.
The cane, what does it do?
Help me to find obstacles around and...
So is there something at the end of it that kind of does an electrical impulse?
No.
No, okay, that's what I
thought. That's expensive. There's a cane here in the Philippines, maybe in the U.S. My friend told me that... They have a cane that have a GPS and you plug in an earphone in our ear and there's you know, street names and something.
Really?
Whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
How much does something like that cost?
I don't know. Maybe my blind from Michigan and from Colorado, they know how much it.
Dude, I love that. I mean, that's just amazing how the technology can help people with certain conditions and certain disabilities. But you've kind of relied on something deeper. And I'm just going to say it. It sounds to me like you're relying on faith.
Yeah, always. When I'm traveling, Father,
I
said to Lord, before I leave the house, I prayed, Lord, I surrender to you all and please be my guide until I back home.
Have you ever gotten kind of lost and confused and kind of, you know, scared?
I mean, look, a little bit, yeah.
Little kids can do that and they can see perfectly, right?
Yeah.
So it happens. But can you explain one of those times?
Maybe when I'm not familiar on the place and I don't have an internet connection. So what's going on? I don't have even, how do I open my GPS? I don't have an internet.
Uh-huh.
So I relied on my priest and I said to myself, I prayed on one corner and I said, Lord, please help me someone to, please, I prayed and someone walk right towards me and say, where are you going?
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to find the convenience store here, the beside of the salon.
Uh-huh.
And I come with you. So, thank you. And then
get
through there. You know, I
so you really have to rely on good companions.
Yeah.
And you're part of a group called The Feast.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about it and what it's done for you?
You know, it's helped me a lot. And they never discriminate me and my Feast family in Calamba, Laguna.
Okay. And so The Feast family, just for our listeners to know, it's a, I don't want to call it necessarily a ministry because they do more than ministry. They're really a community of people founded by the Light of Jesus community, right?
Yeah.
Brother
Bo Sanchez
in the Philippines with his family. It's basically a charismatic community, mm-hmm. very faithful to the church, and they basically have satellite organizations where they pray, they get formation and education and learn,
mm-hmm.
and you're part of one of those teams,
yeah.
so to speak.
Feast SM Calamba.
Okay, yeah. Feast SM Calamba.
Yeah.
And that's just a region or or a neighborhood.
It's one of the city on region 4.
And when did you join it?
I started on maybe this year, but okay. I have different Feast family before. I came to Techno Park, Feast Techno Park.
Okay.
I came to Feast Video, that's a smaller group, that's a Feast family too. Feast Video San Pablo and Feast Velbu Alabang.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to learn a little bit more about the feast from some other folks here as well. But what I want to do is just kind of get a little bit more information mm-hmm. and inspiration from you. What can I do as a priest? You've never met me.
Yeah.
But what can I do as a priest to be a good priest for you? How can I be of help to you?
I'm so nervous, sorry. But try
don't
to,
be nervous.
You know, there's some priests that, you know, they never realize what's going on to, you know, how to be a person with disability. So try to a more, you know, what do you call this one?
Compassion?
Yeah. Or and try to understand how we're feeling, you know.
Yeah.
How do we feel and, you know.
Okay, yeah, that's compassion and empathy.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get to know people and learn a little bit about what they're experiencing.
Yeah, and what's going on in your life, you know.
And clearly, you seem like a very fulfilled young man. I mean, you're a student, right?
Yeah.
And you're teaching piano.
Yeah.
And you're part of this Feast community, and so you feel, I don't know, do you feel alone?
No.
I mean, are there times when you feel alone?
Yeah. Sometimes.
And how do you deal with it?
I always pray. And I always listen to worship songs. And I cry it out. And I said, Lord, please help me. Please remove this feeling. I hate it. I hate that feeling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am a blind person and sometimes I feel alone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
The memories when I get discriminated.
Sure.
I always remember that.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Can you just kind of like sing something that you might have written? Like, just even if it's a verse or two? Just...
It's a Japanese song. It's okay.
Japanese?
Yeah, it's a...
Wait, you're Filipino, right?
Yeah.
But you know Japanese?
The one that I wrote, the Japanese song.
But hold on a second, Steven. How did you write a Japanese song? Do you know Japanese?
No, a little bit, but I use Translate. Yeah.
So you use translators.
Yeah.
So how many languages do you speak? You speak English, you speak Tagalog.
Yeah, Kapampangan.
Okay, so that's a dialect? A
dialect in the Philippines.
And then you also, do you speak any other languages now?
A little bit of German.
Of course, why not?
little bit.
And now you also wrote a song in Japanese.
Yeah.
All right, what does the song mean?
That's a world peace.
World peace. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Steven singing about world peace.
私の心を奪うあなたの目が星のように輝くのを見て子供に幸せなビジョンを残す. Thank you, Father.
Wow, you've got a beautiful voice. What did you say? What was it about?
That is about I said to you a little bit earlier that I came to Japan. Yeah, and that's from Nagasaki and Hiroshima bombing on World War II. And
okay.
Yeah, it's about world peace, you know.
Oh, wow. And what was kind of the message about world peace? Just don't do it or
don't
what?
Stop killing people because we're all son of God.
Oh, wow. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Steven, 19 years old, although born blind. He has other senses and uses friends and technology to help him not only to live a happy life, but to thrive.
Can I say one last message, Father?
You may.
Please, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, always surrender it all to the Lord. To God be the glory. Yeah.
Wow, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back with more deep dish discussion here at the SMX Convention Center, talking to just random people, but more importantly, special people who've got a great message. And we'll be back with more Shoot the Shiitake in just a moment. This week for our premium sponsors, they're going to actually hear a little bit about my background as a Filipino and hear some pretty fantastic stories of what it was like growing up as a Filipino-American in the United States of America. So if you want to hear this show and extra premium content, we invite you to either be advertisers with us or donate $10 or more each month at shootthishiitake.com, and you'll be part of a growing family of premium subscribers and sponsors, people helping us to help bring about conversions one conversation at a time. Thank you for your support, and please be generous at shootthishiitake.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for this continued deep dish discussion here in the Philippines, the convention center for this Kerygma conference. I met an amazing young man in the last interview, but now we're meeting an amazing couple, Chris and Linda Padgett. You will know these people, ladies and gentlemen, from CatholicFam.org.
Yep.
O-R-G. That sounds like orgy. I just realized that.
And I think we have come to the shiitake portion of the shoot.
Well, first of all, Chris and I have known each other for a long time. And over the past few years, Linda has been kind of part of this growing movement. Tell me about Catholic Fam.
Well, Catholic Family and Marriage, CatholicFam.org, was a ministry we officially launched last year, the beginning of last year. So it's almost a year old. And really, in a lot of ways, I was here in the Philippines last year for this event, and I had been really praying, do we continue to be a for-profit ministry organization that we'd been for the last 23 years?
Sure.
Or should we step out and do the nonprofit route? And after being here and seeing what was happening, I think I just realized, okay, I think we can do more by making it a 501c3 nonprofit. Let's rock and roll. Let's see what happens. So we jumped fully in, took everything we've been doing and kind of funneled it into Catholic Family and Marriage.
Yep.
And what it is a ministry primarily to encourage, equip, and empower couples and families, wherever they are on their journey. And that's our heart. We just want to almost be like ultimate cheerleaders to help people go from one part of their little journey to the next.
Okay. And so you are now here speaking kind of at the invitation of Brother Bo Sanchez, who is kind of like the head of this amazing conference. Now, this is pretty amazing, isn't it, just to be here?
It's stunning. I don't think that it's going to be something that the average listener is just going to get.
No, they're not going to get
global
just how
this is. But this guy is an entrepreneur. He's respected in the business community. But what he's done is he started a movement in this area and around the world at this point now that basically invites people to ultimately share the gospel of the gospel, but in union with the church. So it's not pitted against one or the other.
Yeah. But you guys were invited to come here to talk specifically about
marriage and family.
Marriage and family. No. And what do you think? I mean, just because we're not in America right now, obviously, as we're doing this, what are the things that you're getting that's kind of shaping and forming your ministry from your many experiences here and around the country and around the world where you're speaking?
Well, I think that being here last year, I realized that what I was wanting for Catholic family and marriage should be so much bigger. So I ended up basically coming home to America with such a renewed vision. And one of the things that's very unique and singular about this ministry is its intentionality in ministry to the whole person.
To the whole person. You're talking about the Kerygma Conference.
Yeah, to the Kerygma Conference.
Right,
but as a whole, like they are going to not just at this conference, but even part of the feast gatherings, they have constant resources that help discipleship and help with catechesis, but
there is a shiitake load of resources.
Yeah. So ultimately, they're just trying to say, here's where God can be in your life right now. Here's how God is real in your struggle right now. But also, we recognize that you might need help with health, you might need help with finances, you might need help with whatever.
Yeah.
For me, here at the conference, it confirms our passion that we have for reaching the unchurched and reaching those who maybe have walked away from the church and touching lives of messy people. And I love the whole person approach too, and that it's just, they're not just reaching the intellect of a human person, they're reaching everything about that person, and that's something that's driven deep in our own desire for ministry.
So CatholicFam.org is basically trying to do kind of similar things to kind of help the entire family life and not just in their spirituality, because that's what I was going to ask next. Well, what's the difference between CatholicFam.org and any other marriage and family apostolate that, say, like a church is hosting and providing?
Sure. Well,
there's a lot of resources.
Oh, yeah. Well, oddly enough, there's not as many as you would think there would be.
Isn't that something?
What's funny is that there are resources within ministries that are catering to a specific kind of moment in a couple's life. So maybe it's dating, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a pre-Cana. But it's all part of a bigger ministry, and that's one little avenue. And primarily, it's information-based. What we're trying to do is, yes, we want to provide information, but the whole approach is we want to provide opportunities and experiences so people can have these encounters and relational moments with Jesus Christ and with their spouse, their couple, so they can start to really build a foundation.
But you said the word messy, Linda. I mean, can you explain what you meant by that?
The truth is, all of us are messy. We might put on a good facade, a good mask, that we have our lives together, that our family is not hurt and wounded in some way. But the truth is, we all are messy. We all have struggle and difficulty. And I think that sometimes to present this idea that here's this ideal, perfect picture of what a family should look like. And as Catholic Fam, we say that, you know, not every family has a marriage and not every marriage has a family.
Oh, interesting.
And that we all are messy. And we want people who feel like maybe there's a lot of people out there who believe that they're not good enough to go to church. They're not wanted. They're not accepted there. And we want to say, you are accepted here. We want you here. We want to encourage you and come alongside you and help you as best as we can. And that Jesus wants you. He wants to love you. And then point them to the church gradually.
Okay. You all were sitting here while I was interviewing Stephen.
He's amazing.
There's some amazing stuff here. But you also kind of share a little experience with some blindness, right?
Well, I talked to Stephen about this yesterday because my grandmother was blind my whole life. She never saw me. And I have a lot of little funny kind of jokes and stories I tell about her because
the reason why I ask is because that's kind of part of the messiness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think when we have families with disabilities and such.
Of course.
And I'm going to get to that question as well, but keep going.
Well, what was interesting as a kid, I can remember my grandma would come and visit and little things about the way that she survived in life. So she had a seeing eye dog and she used a cane occasionally. That's what Stephen uses. But the guide dog really kind of became a part of the family and wow. was her eyes, really. And she would fold her money a certain way so she knew exactly when she was at a grocery store what money to give to the lady. She would basically walk and the dog would stop at a curb so she knew there was a curb and they would move forward. Like they're very trained specifically. My grandma would take and join all of these Senior Olympic kind of moments, swimming,
You're
walking.
Kidding.
She actually was photographed once by Sports Illustrated after a swimming contest that she won. And for years she bragged that she was in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. So,
and she was in a swimsuit.
Yeah.
But like they see things differently.
Absolutely.
And we use that yeah. word kind of generically, but they do see things differently.
Yeah.
How do you want people to see their families, knowing that there's going to be a lot of messiness, there's going to be disabilities and brokenness and sickness and all that stuff? How do you help them? How do you help a couple to see that they're still a family? How do you help a family to see that they're still a family, even though everything is completely screwed up?
Well, here's the thing. When you have a person who has an actual physical disability,
yep.
you have to deal with the reality of that disability in a family dynamic because it's a visible part and component. But what we are recognizing and wanting to draw attention to is that there are a lot of disabilities and struggles emotionally, spiritually, in a family that are not talked about because they're not overtly visible.
Like, tell me what do you mean? Give
well,
an example.
Like, let's just be honest. Like, some
and,
people
and is this
can
just
going
to be so pious that people can be like, oh, he's going to talk about
Look,
Jesus
there's,
again?
There's people who want to say everything's fine and dandy. Mm-hmm. Everything's super great, no problem. But then you go home and the husband's an alcoholic. We
yeah.
have a situation right now in our family where one of the spouses is an alcoholic
sure.
and has yet to acknowledge that. And
oh,
so the
harsh.
Tension in that marriage
so what do you
is
do?
Massive. Well, it depends on what role you are. If you're an adult speaking to another adult, you can have those kind of serious conversations. But if it's your child, for example, that's a very different conversation. And so ultimately, for us, we're trying to figure out ways to communicate to this family member that we love them unconditionally, but we're not going to tolerate a scenario that could be aggressive and hurtful. I mean, look, the thing about this is that when you talk to families who are dealing with these kind of messes, they need to somehow know that there's hope and it's not a dead-end experience.
You know, and like they always say that. Now, I'm playing devil's advocate
yeah,
because
please.
I do believe it. What do you mean by there's always hope?
Well, look, for example, this particular family member, we ended up going to an Al-Anon meeting.
Uh-huh.
We ended up finding where they lived, places they could go to AA meetings to have a support structure. We contacted people that we knew there, church people, people who had a community so that there could be support in case there was violence,
mm-hmm.
like massive intervention. And when you start to realize that you have a support structure like that, there can be hope. And hope sometimes might simply be you're not alone.
Okay.
And I think that as a ministry, we would want to encourage anyone to press through the difficulties in their marriage, right? Everyone
mm-hmm.
that marriages, they have a difficult time, and we want to be there and help them to support them through the difficulty of the marriage. But you know what? Sometimes that marriage will end in divorce. As a ministry, we want to say, even if your hope was taken away, that your marriage has ended in divorce,
okay.
we're still here. We are
right.
still here.
Who do you mean we?
We as a ministry, we
Got
want
it.
To be here. And what we want to encourage is that Jesus is still here, ultimately. And we want them to find hope in the church, find hope in Jesus, and we still validate them in their family life.
Yeah, but when people think
identity.
Of like Christians, they automatically think that we are very judgmental of
Absolutely.
Broken families. Is that true?
Of course it's true. Christians are horribly judgmental. Are you kidding me? To be honest, like they'll be judgmental for you because you have the word shiitake in a podcast. They'll be judgmental of me because I'm so handsome. The thing is is that the thing is that unfortunately a lot of people stop dead in their ministry tracks because they're afraid of
uh-huh.
being judged. But what
sure.
I like to say, if you're going to be radically vulnerable and you're going to minister, what's going to happen is you will be judged. Period. That's going to happen. So you either stop or you continue on. And what we wanted to do is to say, look, even if we're being judged, we're still going to love people regardless whether they think that's acceptable or not. Here's a story real fast.
Yeah,
I
no,
promise.
Dude, you're good.
There's a girl, funny enough, you would know her. She was part of one of your original parishes. But I met this person many, many years ago. She was an alcoholic. And every single time that we met, she would talk about how she would wreck herself the night before.
Okay.
She grew up in a family where there was drugs and abuse and difficulties. Oof. She slept for a while in a car. I mean, you name it, her life was a mess. And so she drank every night to get drunk and pass out. That was her goal. And we would meet on a regular basis. And one day she was hanging out and we were sitting on our front porch and my family knew her, loved her, and she was there. And she shares this story. I wrecked myself the night before. And I looked and I said to this girl, you know, you could come to me every single day and tell me that you got drunk and you passed out and you wrecked yourself. And I need you to know this, that we love you. I love you. You're a part of our family. Like, we're in it for the long haul, period. You don't have to do anything for me to love you. Like, we're already all in. And she looked at me and she said, but I'm just tired of telling you the same thing over and over and over again. And what I realized a long time ago is that I want to be the kind of person that's willing to love people even if they never change, mm-hmm. to do the advice that I am offering to them that I know will help them.
Sure.
So whether you take the advice from Catholic Family and Marriage or not, it doesn't matter. We are committed to loving you right where you are. Now, if you want to help and go from point A to point B, here are a few things that we can offer you. Here's some video things to encourage you along the way. Here's some teachings and some whatever books that we've
written. All of this is available at CatholicFam.org?
Yeah, and there'll be more and more and more because our whole idea is, yes, content, but also not just content, it's also like a presence.
Sure.
So
let me ask you this, as we're kind of bringing this to a close. What can I do? I'm sorry, Linda.
No, good.
You're good. What can I do as a priest, a Catholic priest? How can I be a good priest for you? How can I be of support to you?
Well, we have been really blessed with a priest that's in our life on a regular basis. So one of the things that I love is that he kind of shares a little bit of his vulnerability too. I think that's really hard for priests to do because in some ways you're always on. You always have to be on. They're always going to look at you.
I have no vulnerabilities. I'm perfect.
It's hard. And I often look and I wonder to myself, where does a priest go to find his oasis, his
the
break
internet.
From it? You know, oftentimes like that community
sure.
can be there. What we wanted to do is ultimately kind of provide a place where our priests could come, take off the collar, relax, get a drink, sit down, not have to mess with anything, just be.
Sure.
And the thing about, as a general rule with priesthood, is that it can be a solo sport if they're not careful.
Sure.
And so partly, I think one of the great gifts of a priest to families is to allow themselves to be vulnerable, allow themselves to be present, allow themselves to be visible, because ultimately it is a family affair.
I love
what
it.
This is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris and Linda Padgett. Linda, anything?
I'm good.
You're good.
I'm good.
And I think that's really one of the beautiful things. You're very complimentary to each other, and the message gets across. No matter who's saying it,
right.
If you're a family, you're saying it together.
Amen.
And that's really great. Listen, we are here at the Philippines, Manila Conference Center. This is a crazy event called Kerygma. Limitless is the theme. Chris and Linda are here. I'm here as a speaker, international Amen. Speakers. And it's been absolutely amazing to meet not only amazing, just faithful people, but extraordinary people like that young man, Stephen.
Well, what they don't know also is that we each get a handler, someone who makes sure we make it from point A to point B. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your handler, Father Leo?
I will talk about him in my carryout order when we return. I'm going to kind of unpack and kind of learn a little bit about what CatholicFam.org is about, and to also know that what they're here to do is just help you to see.
Amen.
Help you to see that there is hope, which obviously a blind kid helped me to see today. So listen, I'll be back with my carryout order as we return with more Shoot the Shiitake in just a moment. As you can tell from this week's interview, I travel around the country and around the world, speaking at local churches, major conferences, even corporate events, trying to let people know that food, faith, family, and my other favorite F word, fun, they all are wrapped up in some dynamic presentations that I can bring to your organization. So if you want to book a parish mission or book me for a corporate event or for your next major conference, all you've got to do is go to fatherleofeeds.com/events and we will share a feast for the soul. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for my carryout order. And I got to tell you, like, I love my interviews and such, but this one was really special. Maybe because I was back in the Philippines, my hometown, so to speak, and speaking literally to thousands. I think there was like 20,000 people total for these conferences. It was like
gosh, like nonstop people all over the place. I was grateful to have the green room available where you could hear some of the speakers that were gathered there, and then meeting people like Stephen, and then of course I've known Chris and Linda Padgett for a while. I just want to share with you my carryout order because I wasn't planning on this when I was recording this episode, but this is how God works. I think in order to have true faith, we gotta approach it with a little bit of blindness. We're never gonna see things perfectly. And so when I met this guy named Stephen, this dude was just impressive, really impressive. He was super pious, which I don't always like, but in his case, I totally believe him. I mean, like, totally believe him. You know, some people hide behind piety. They kind of replace the reality of living their faith behind pious acts. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying that I know people who are just super uber pious, and they can kind of annoy me because they don't let their faith become more than just praying the rosary or doing a holy hour. All of those are good, fantastic, and necessary. But at one point, you're going to have to walk the talk. In other words, you're going to have to just get out in the street and walk in blind faith and, yeah, carry the cross. And that is exactly what this guy Stephen did. He literally, in his blindness, just walks out into the street, traveled 3 hours to get from his home to this conference on public stinking transportation, and he was in a good mood. Me? I'd be pissed. I would be annoyed. I would be bothered. So sometimes I say that about pious acts. I accuse myself of it. You know, like I say mass in a solemn way. I pray the rosary. I do my holy hour. I pray a lot. I read the scripture. I do those things. But to be honest with you, I don't think I could live the way Stephen did. I mean, like, he literally was a man with this tremendous faith and in his blindness. I mean, this guy, just to be able to play video games, how do you even do that? To be honest with you, I kind of wanted to watch this in action, but I didn't want to embarrass him. I almost forgot that I met this priest. He is a blind priest somewhere in the New Jersey area, but I met him when he was a seminarian, I think, or maybe, I can't remember because so many years ago, but I never had a chance to interview him the way I interviewed Stephen. All I had to do was pick this guy up and then drop him off at the seminary. That's all I had to do. And I was feeling kind of insecure, so I didn't really ask him a lot of questions about his blindness. But I had a chance with Stephen. I learned a tremendous amount. That first of all, that the technology, thank God for you tech folks and science and computer experts that give people the technology to see, you know, and still live very, very functional lives. I mean, this guy's playing the piano. I mean, he sings in Japanese. He's playing video games. He beats people playing hide and seek. What the faith? I don't get that. Like, he really blew my mind. But what he really showed me was that life is messy. And that they're going to be really mean people out there. And you know what? If I were him, I would also learn some martial arts skills and beat the snot. No, I wouldn't do that. But when I heard that he would get made fun of or he would get treated badly and people would take advantage of his situation, that makes me mad. That really makes me mad. But what does he do? He prays every night to forgive them. He just tries his best. And he knows that ultimately, especially with this organization called The Feast, it's the Light of Jesus Family, coordinated by Brother Bo Sanchez and a whole team of people. Like, Brother Bo's, in a way, a little bit of the face of the organization. But when I went there, there were many faces to the organization. They all were kind of like co-leaders for this massive movement in the Philippines, where they would get literally thousands and thousands of people every week to come to these inspirational talks. Whoa. It really goes to show that even though the church is pretty messy right now, we are still a family. And if we have the light of Jesus in us, we will be able to see despite the blindness generally caused by our broken nature, i.e. sinfulness. And of course, when we're not willing to open up the blinders and see perspective. In other words, prejudice is a form of blindness. But I was just glad to know that despite the messiness of the families of our church, that there's an organization that Chris and Linda Padgett, CatholicFam.org, their website is all about Catholic family and marriage. And Linda said it beautifully, where not every marriage leads to a family and not every family has a marriage. I mean, that's a pretty real thing. And a lot of times people just want their families to be perfect. And we're not. We're just not perfect. perfect. But this organization just wants you to know you're not going to be judged. And certainly, while we would love for you to take all of our advice and use all of the materials that they have, if they don't, you still got to love them. It's kind of like the prodigal son. The dad was just unconditional in his love for the son, who was blinded by greed, generally. And then, of course, his other son was blinded by jealousy. If you don't know that reference, all you got to do is just Google prodigal son, and you'll read that account in the New Testament. But this whole carryout order for me is really, I just focused on one word, faith. And you're going to say, oh, gosh, no, this is starting to sound like a Catholic podcast. Well, duh, it is a Catholic podcast, even though generally I normally don't talk to Catholic people because their stories are so similar to mine. But in this case, it was not. I was never born blind. And, you know, as far as Chris and Linda, I love these people dearly. They're great friends of mine. I've known them for years. But I didn't know about their new organization, which just recently started as of the taping of this show, CatholicFam.org. They took a leap of faith. And they did something to combine Chris's ministry with his marriage. And so this idea of faith, I got to tell you, the carryout order for me is that faith is messy and life is messy. And we all don't always see where we're going. And that's why, in a way, we've got to depend on family. That's what Stephen does. He depends on the family of faith. And Chris and Linda are just trying to help families be faithful, even though they might not have it all together, maybe even experienced infidelity. They are an organization that just wants to be faithful to you. And so I want to keep this simple here. Meeting Stephen, interviewing Chris and Linda, because I've known them for such a long time, I'm just inspired, and I hope you are too, that even though life is messy and sometimes we experience tremendous blindness and we don't know where we're going and life can seem pretty dark, and for many people I know it is, whether it be problems from politics or personalities or whatever, life can be kind of difficult to maneuver through. And therefore, the only thing I can offer to you is the carryout order that I learned from these guys. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to have literally blind faith that the good shepherd will lead us out of the darkness and onto green pastures. And as the song says, faith helps us with the grace of God to help us who were blind, but now we can see. Wow. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Shoot the Shiitake. Can't thank you enough for being part of our movement. And if you want to truly help us bring about conversions one conversation at a time, please remember to encourage family, friends, and parishioners to subscribe to this podcast on their favorite podcast platform. Support us by advertising with us, or even by being a premium subscriber. $10 or more each month gives you extra premium content, which is a lot of fun. You get a chance to get to know me a little bit better, hear a little bit more inspirational interviews, things that really do help us grow in faith. So between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, brought to you by CatholicFam.org, Catholic Marriage and Family Incorporated, a website and a movement, and more importantly, a ministry to help families deal with the messiness of life and still stay a family united by God's love. Learn all about them, Catholic Family and Marriage Incorporated, at CatholicFam.org.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city.
Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.